bless us with the sacrifice of our lips, our voices, unto him. Amen. Thank you, Brother Philip. If you would, please, while I'm preparing to do a series on the book of Romans, I'm not quite ready yet. And so we're just going to look at, again, once more, one of my favorite scriptures, and that will be in Hebrews chapter 13. So the book of Hebrews, it's close to the book of Revelation, not quite there, but you have Hebrews and you have James, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, Jude, then Revelation. But it's near the last part of the scriptures. Hebrews, as you know, is a very powerful book. It describes the great differences, and that's the key to the book, that how Christ, the fulfillment of the Old Testament, is far better than the types and shadows that pointed to him, that he's greater than the angels, and far better than the angels, for he made the angels, Hebrews tells us. We'll be in Hebrews chapter 13. And so he's far better than the angels. And it talks about Moses and says, you know, Moses was a great lawgiver. He was a great leader. But Jesus is the one who called Moses. Jesus is the one who created Moses. Jesus is the one who sent Moses and gave Moses that courage, even though he had been under penalty of death when he had to flee. And yet Moses talks about him being the greatest of all, and that he was to serve Jesus, and that we are to view Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Moses endured as seeing him who is invisible in Hebrews chapter 11. But as we go through the book of Hebrews, it'll say Jesus is much more better about this. Jesus is much more better than the priesthood under the Old Testament. Jesus is the high priest who ever lives. And we're going to look at that in our choral reading in just a little while. But we want to look at our faithful Savior. Hebrews chapter 1 especially tells us that Jesus Christ is God in his glory himself. That those of you who are familiar with the classic Christian teaching all the way back to John the Baptist, all the way through the New Testament, is that God is one, but he exists in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All three are God. All three are in a triunity, a perfect agreement. They always have been. And if you ask me to explain the Trinity, you might as well ask me to explain some of the most simple things around us that the scientists can't even explain. They can give you formulas and mathematics of it, but they can't really explain what gravity is. Sir Isaac Newton came to that long ago, and he did his work on gravity, even put mathematics to it. But if you ask, you know, what is the secret of our conscience? How can we still all be sitting here and still understand each other, and yet not only be depending on our understanding through words, but our hearts communicate with each other? And to be able to see that, I hope you understand that I'm not here for your money. I'm not here to sway you into a cult or anything like that. I'm just here because back in 1980, Jesus stole my heart and ran away with it. He saved my soul. And within that year, he wouldn't let me go to sleep one night. So I went to the next thing on my Bible reading list to try to get tired to go to sleep. And it was Isaiah 58. And in Isaiah chapter 58, it says, "Cry aloud and spare not your voice. Lift your voice like a trumpet and show my people their sins and the house of Israel their iniquities." And it talks about the rest in that chapter, the things that spoke to my heart too as well. But I realized that God was calling me to preach. It's just that, it's like that knowing without ever hearing a voice, knowing from your heart, having that peace that no one else can give. And so I said yes to him. I said, "Lord, if you'll let me serve you, I'll serve you. If you want me to preach, I'll preach your word wherever you want me to preach it. I'll go where you want me to go." And all these years later, since 19, how many years is that? Is that 43 years now? Or 43 years now. You know, he dipped over that honey bucket of salvation in my heart, and it's been dripping off my rib cage ever since. And yet, to this day, I've never, you know, came to a place where I was going to preach God's word, that I didn't cast my soul on him utterly. Just like praying all this morning, Holy Spirit, I don't know how to preach without you. God, I can't do it. You know, I could probably do it in the flesh like some of these TV preachers and these people that are calling congregations to give more money and everything like that. But I just think where God guides, he provides, don't you? And if God gives you a baby, he's going to help you take care of it. And if God's going to give you a horse, then you ought to learn how to ride it. And so the Lord called me to preach, and I just depend on him. I know that if you're going to get a blessing, it won't be from me. Because when he saved me, I was a snake in the grass just looking for the next ankle to bite. And I was trouble with a capital T. You wouldn't know it by looking at me now, but maybe I look like trouble to you. I don't know. But I was a mean little rascal. And I won't go into all that story now, but Hebrews chapter 13, and we're going to read down to verse 8, and verse 8 is going to be our text verse today. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1, he's writing, Paul is finishing his letters to the Jews that were serving in the temple in Jerusalem, and he doesn't put his name to it because they hated him. But he's just trying to reach out to the ones that have been converted, the number of priests who have called on Christ as their Savior, and he's trying to get them to continue in the faith. So Hebrews 13, verse 1, let brotherly love continue. You know, let me just stop here a second. We hear a lot about race in our day and racism and stuff. I have no doubt that there are racists here and there. I don't know any myself. And all the people I know, I don't care from if they're Filipino, if they're from across the border in Mexico or from Guatemala, like Victor. You know, it's like that old saying, and we know who said it. He said, we judge one another not by the color of our skin, but by the content of our character. Do you know how many races there are? Just one. We're the human race. We all have the same great-great-great-great-great-grandparents, Adam and Eve. And then we go back further and we have from Noah's family. Yep. And so Noah and everybody else was wiped out. And so we are one race. Just some of us have more melanin than others do. And I'm jealous. You know, see, we try to get tans and other people are afraid of getting more burnt or whatever than... where I work is these truck drivers, and they all wear these sleeves on their arm. And the Latinos, the black drivers, the Filipino drivers, because they got that arm out the window most of the time driving that truck. And they don't want one arm darker than the other one. I think my cheeks are darker than the rest of my head. Isn't it? Yeah. So that's because I have to wear a hat. God only made a few perfect heads, and the rest he had to stick hair all over them. Right, Brandon?
There you go.
That's right. So, this is the thing. I get along with all my brothers, especially the ones that have mentioned that they're in Christ. You know, one way I do it is I find out who the Christians are is when they come to, they'll say, how you doing? And if I say, better than I deserve, then the Christians will say, that's right, brother. Thank God for his grace. Thank God that Jesus saves sinners, right?
Amen.
And so I am better than I deserve, and it's his grace and his mercy that are saving me and taking me to heaven, not because I'm good, but he was good for me. So back now to verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. The fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. If Christ is your all in all, God is all you need. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, verse 8. So we may boldly say, and here's one of Mr. Simmons' favorite verses, the Lord is my helper. His favorite verse was there in verse 5. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And this is a good one too, where it says in verse 6, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And that's our verse for today. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday or from everlasting, today and forever, for everlasting or for eternity. A favorite tourist attraction at Yosemite National Park which has been in the news lately because they're getting rumblings of seismic activity around a great volcano. That volcano at Yosemite National Park, if it goes off, can darken the sun here in the United States, especially the Western United States, for months. It's what's called a super thing. A lot of people think it's foretelling the end of the world. But in Yellowstone National Park, there's a geyser. It comes up and shoots all this water and the chemicals from underground way up in the air. And it's the favorite tourist attraction in the whole state of Wyoming, Yosemite National Park, because you can set your watch by it without fail every 67 minutes, night and day. That geyser goes off. And you know the name of it, right? Old Faithful. Every 67 minutes. It's been doing it for many, many years now. Old Faithful goes off. And the people make their way by the thousands every year to go and see it, time it. And so it's called Old Faithful. But better than that, you can count your whole soul's eternity. You can count your eternal future into the hands of one who is more faithful. In fact, his name is called over and over again in the Bible, Faithful. And that is he who never changes, the one who made all faithful. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus himself is, was, and always will be the same. He is always the same in his great love to his people. God loved his elect. God loved his chosen before the earth ever was. Before the first star, before the first creature drew its first breath, he loved his people with an eternal love. And so the scripture says, yea, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you to myself. It was his love for you that brought him from heaven to ransom you. In love for you, he walked through this valley of tears and slanders and persecutions and the ugliest things said about him, including that he was the devil himself. The religious crowd said that he was Beelzebub, that he was a demon and the prince of the demons. And this one paid for your sins on the cross. He rose from the dead for your soul. In his everlasting love, he is coming again to receive you to himself forever. Now, I don't know about you, but I wish it was today. There was times when I was in college and I thought, you know, Lord, I think I found the girl I want to marry. And I know you may return any time, Lord, but can't you just wait until after I get married and I have a good honeymoon, Lord? Then you can return then. You know, when my son was younger, you know, it was, Lord, I want to see you today. But I want to make sure that my son is going with us to heaven. Lord, just save my boy and then everything's okay. And maybe you have that in your mind. If I said, folks, at 4 o'clock this afternoon, the Lord Jesus is going to return in great splendor and glory. And the earth will pass away, the heavens will pass away, be rolled up like a scroll. And with a great noise, all these elements that are hooked together with living little molecules and living little atoms will be separated. And we know what happens when you separate the atom, right? Or the hydrogen atom too. You've got a great explosion. And like the Bible says in Peter and other places, that heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and all the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. And if that was today, of course, those who believe on Christ, those who know Jesus as their Savior, those that have been born of the Holy Spirit. And so, as the Scripture says, we look forward to that. But His love for you has never changed. You know, we as humans, our love waxes and wanes, especially if we look at love what would be that? Not the ethereal side of it, but just the sensual side of love. We think it's a feeling. I'm hooked on a feeling and I'm high on believing that you're in love with me. Well, if your love goes by feelings, most of the time you're not going to be loving, especially if you work hard, especially if you didn't get enough sleep. But see, the intensity of God's love is that it never fails, because He is perfect, because He is infinite, because He is almighty. His love is infinite. His love is perfect. His love never changes. It is as mighty as it was when He laid down His hands on the cross for you, to save you, and willingly took those nails into His hands and into His feet and was persecuted. His love that still took Him to the cross. The Bible says He set His face like a flint to go and accomplish our redemption. That's why He was born. He was born to die for you and to die for me. See, in our place, being our substitute, our sacrifice. In baseball, we use that term when a batter is going to make a hit or a bunt, to sacrifice himself to move another forward. So Christ, when we could not come to where He was, He came to us. God, in Romans 5:8, it says this: God demonstrates His love toward us in that while we were sinners, while we were rebels against God, while we were shaking our fists at God and saying, I'm going to do my own thing, whether you like it or not. God demonstrates His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, I haven't shared this story in a long time, long, long time. Where I went to college was near South Chicago. I don't know why anybody would live in such a cold place. I mean, Chicago's so cold. I've seen it start snowing in the middle of October and the snow still be on the ground at the beginning of May. And I was a California boy. I didn't like all that cold all the time. But I tell you, there was one of the guys from a famous preacher there for a different kind of faith. His name is Louis Farrakhan. One of the people came out from his church one time, and he told me, he said, how would you feel if all you ever saw was a black Jesus? And I thought for a second, and I said, you know what? I think I'd love him more. I said, the Bible doesn't describe what he looked like. The Bible doesn't say whether he had green eyes, brown eyes. The most given color in the world is brown eyes. So probably brown eyes, but I don't know. And I said to him, listen, bro, if Jesus is black and He died for me, I think I love Him more. Because He didn't care about my color. He cared about my soul. He didn't care about my comfort. He cared about my eternity. And so that's what I share with you today, knowing that Christ is the Savior of all men. There's a man in Florida, Pensacola, Florida. His name is Peter Ruckman. And he teaches his church there. You want to see some kind of racism going on. Is that he says, it'll all be good. And he means it. He's not making a joke. He says, when Jesus comes or when we all get to heaven, everybody's going to be white. No, they're not. God made us a variety. He loves to do that. Does every flower smell like a rose? Or do you also have honeysuckles, orange blossoms, cherry blossoms? You have all kinds of fragrances and flowers, not only that, but all kinds of different looks and colors. the fruit that you eat. You go to the store today. Strawberries have their seeds on the outside. Everybody else has their seeds on the inside. Apples taste different than oranges. They taste different than bananas and everything like that. God loves that variety. You know, I told a guy one day, he says, well, what color do you think was the first man? What does it matter? But then I said to him, you know, his name Adam means, does any of you know? Adam means taken from the red soil. Paul said on the hill, there's all, in his preaching to Mars Hills from the book of Acts, he said, we are all created by the same creator. We are all one race of people. So he says, well, I'm black. Well, if I got a black piece of paper and put it next to you, no, you're just dark brown. And if you held up this white piece of paper next to me, I'm just a little more brown than that paper. But God made us all. Christ died for us all. And it says in Revelation, it says there that people on that last day, there will be blood-bought people around the throne praising God, saying, for you have redeemed us to God out of every blood, out of every culture, out of every language, from all over the earth. You know, I could want to say something where I was going to say something about white people, but then what I was going to say, the white people would get mad at me maybe. But I've met a lot worse white people in my life than I've met any other colors. And the thing is that, you know, when I played football and baseball, and I played college as well up into my senior year college ball. And I was in the military. I was in the Coast Guard for a while. It didn't matter what color we were. It mattered on what team we were on. Or were we together? If I got to take an unclean shot from another guy on another team, it didn't matter to my team whether I was white or brown or anything else. Everybody be up in that face. We'd all be fighting in that game. And the same with me. You know, I don't know why everybody doesn't just get busy loving each other because Jesus died for us, because Jesus washed us in his blood. The term I use most at work for everybody, when I see him, I'm a supervisor at work. Nothing gets into the property without me. Nothing goes out of the property without me. And I call people my brother all the time. There's some good Christian brothers that are out there driving trucks. And they love Jesus. There's some bad ones too. I like some, never mind, I don't want to get into all that. But we call each other brothers and we would fight for each other as brothers. We're friends like brothers. My arm was getting sunburned really bad. It's finally down a little bit real bad, but I was just peeling like crazy. And who was it that gave me a sleeve for my arm that looked like it had tattoos all over it? I said, well, I can't wear this to church, but this will save my skin out here. It was a black man named Greg Malloy who loves Jesus. And he gave me a sleeve that looked like tattoos on it because he wanted me to look mean and tough and cool. And so anyways, I don't understand why all this stuff is going on with people in our world that we can't, as children of God, bond together, become unified. All these other groups are getting unified. Why don't we stand for the Lord Jesus Christ and lift high his book, his banner, and lift up the bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ? But it says here, let brotherly love continue. And then our verse, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, it might surprise you, and I'm taking advantage of this. My brother's here. I hope you understand. A lot of people have taken a weird view of the Bible. Did you know that Moses married a black woman? And when his brother Aaron and his sister Miriam talked bad about it, that God cast leprosy on them. Do you remember that story in the Bible? For a month, they lived as lepers until they repented and made amends to Moses over that. At least one of Jesus' disciples black. But I know there were none of them white. Not in that part of the country. They were Jewish. But one of them was named Simon. And Simon, along with the other disciples, set the world on fire for Christ. preach the gospel until he himself gave his life for Jesus. And there was another Simon who helped Jesus carry the cross when they took the cross off of Christ because he continued to stumble underneath its weight after the horrific beatings. I mean, Roman soldiers, the Bible says, were punching him in the face when the robe was over his face saying, "Who is it that hit you?" Roman soldiers, tough warriors, hitting him in the face. And so as he stumbled with that, they took the cross off of Christ by a man who was standing by named Simon, a different Simon. And later on, we read that his son was in the church at Rome. When you get to the book of Romans, Paul says, "And tell Rufus, Simon's son, he's faithful in the Lord. Be a blessing to him." All right, I've been there long enough. We're going to move along. I just wanted to tell you that whenever you meet a Christian brother or sister, no matter what language they speak, no matter how educated or uneducated they are, how finely dressed they are or how poor they are, you show your love for Jesus. Your love for Jesus is a direct correlation to how you love them. How you serve Jesus is a direct response to how you show love to them. Because the Bible says, if any man say he loves God and hates a brother, he's a liar. For he who says he loves God whom he has not seen, how can he not love his brother whom he has seen? And so we have to realize that Peter Ruckman is wrong. And all these others that are racist preachers are wrong. And I'm telling you, if I hadn't had this on my heart so much lately, I've just been thanking God for the people I work with every day who are different colors than me. And some of them talk with a Filipina accent, and some of them talk with a Nigerian accent, and some of them talk with a Kenyan accent, and some of them talk with a New York accent. Bada bing, bada boom, I forget about it. Right? But I love them. Especially love them when they're in Christ. They're my true brother and my true sister. Jesus is not only the same in his great love to his people, Jesus is the same in his purpose for his church. He resolved in eternity past to be one with his church, that she might be his bride and be one with him. This is why when he made the first bride from a bloody wound in Adam's side, he could have made Eve any way he wanted to. But he chose to put Adam into a deep sleep, which was a picture of death. Adam didn't feel anything. In this deep sleep, God went in and in the first, anesthetic surgery or non-anesthetic surgery, he took that blood and that flesh from that first man, and he made the woman. Why did he do it that way? He didn't make anything else that way. He did it this way to show that the woman was of the man, and that the man was to protect her, provide for her. He wasn't made from his head to be his boss, wasn't made for his feet to be walked on, made from his side, near his heart, to be protected, to be in fellowship with, to be loved. And so in that, it was a picture of Christ's love for us, that he was willing to give himself for us. And how did they check to make sure he was truly dead? But they thrust that Roman spear into his side, up above the rib, near his heart. And the fourth one came out blood and water, which is symbolic of a literal broken heart as he died for our sins. And that is a picture of Christ becoming one with his church. And we see that likeness over and over again in the New Testament, where we are blood of his blood, flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, the Bible says. So his purpose to be one with his church, he loved us so much because he wants to live with us forever and present us to himself spotless, without wrinkle, without blemish, as his bride arrayed in the wedding garments of love and praise for him. She's in the same for his purpose for the church. He wants us to be joined together forever with him in love. He will not rest content till everyone whom he has purchased by his blood will be also glorified with him one day in heaven. All his sheep, he said, will be gathered into his fold, and every one of them shall share and enjoy his glory forever. Unknown to us is whom God is going to save, but he knows whom. From our side, we look at the gate to heaven, and it says, you know, above the, as it were, the emblem of Jesus, whosoever will. But then you get through the gate and you look back from before the beginning of the world. God knows who he's going to save. And we can't give up on anybody till we preach the gospel to every creature. And you say, well, man chooses for himself. Yeah, but it's God who touches his heart to choose. It's such an unbelievable story when you think about it, that it's a miracle we come to Christ to be saved. We've never seen him. It's an unbelievable story when you come down to the history of all the human race, that if I say to you, Jesus is the Son of God, and he was born of a virgin. Born of a virgin. Never has anybody seen this. He's not only born of a virgin, but he's sinless. He never sinned in thought, in word, in deed. In everything he did, he loved God, because the Bible says the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, all your creativity, everything about you, to love him. And it means 24/7, all the time. And he did it. And not only did he, was he sinless in thought, word, and deed, but he came with to give us a righteousness for us. Because he was always righteous. He was always holy. Now he comes as a man, and God in the flesh, he has a righteousness that he's lived out and will present to us in his sacrifice. He's going to do the great exchange. He's going to take all our sins. Even the most embarrassing ones, the ones that we've done in darkness when we were alone, that we would never want anybody to be find out about, because we'd be so embarrassed, so ashamed. He took all that once for all, forever. And at the cross, before he said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit, he said, Tetelestai, which means paid in full. And to prove that he was the righteous Son of God, that he was perfect, and that his sacrifice was acceptable before God the Father, he rose again from the dead. Amen. Acceptable sacrifice. He died a death that he did not owe, for he never sinned, and gave us the life that we did not deserve to us, because the wages of sin is death, but he took that for us. We have to close in just a couple moments. So Jesus himself was and always will be the same. Jesus is ever faithful in his offices as our prophet, our priest, and our king. His teachings as our prophet are always true, fresh, relevant, powerful, yesterday, today, and forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his words will never pass away. You remember the religious crowd took the Roman Antonia Guard and sent them to arrest Jesus. They went to arrest Jesus with their weapons and their horses. Then they came back a few hours without Jesus. And the Pharisees and Sadducees said, we sent you to capture Jesus so we could put him to death. Where is he? And all they could say was, do you remember that passage in Luke? No man ever spake like that man. And he taught them as one having the authority of heaven, and not as the religious leaders of his day. And the Bible says, even of his own crowd who knew him while he was growing up in Nazareth, after he preached, they marveled at him. For the words that he spoke were so gracious, so heartrending. The sinners were hearing about their sins and his mercy, and it broke their heart that they had sinned. And yet it gave them such hope, because here is he who forgives my sins. They saw him, heard him preach, and their hearts were moved. So they would gather by the thousands at the temple early in the morning when Jesus would be in Jerusalem. And you remember, he always began speaking at sunrise in the temple. And the people would already be there, just waiting for the Messiah to come, waiting for the Christ to come and preach to them. And so Jesus is the great prophet, and he always will be. He is greater than any. See, well, this person speaks so good, and this person speaks so good. No one ever spake like Jesus. And then his not only his office as prophet, but his office as priest and king. His sacrifice, what the high priest was known for, was the morning and evening sacrifice, the Passover sacrifice, taking the blood and sprinkling the Ark of the Covenant. And it speaks of sacrifice. And so his precious blood, his mediation, will never lose their power. We have Connie, do we have that song in our songbook? I think it was Andre Crouch who did the song, His Blood Will Never Lose Its Power. I don't know. I know it's in one of our songbooks at home, but, and the blood that keeps me safe from day to day will never lose its power. And then as our king, he's king forever. He'll say, one day Jesus will return as king. Of course, he's king already. He always was. He always was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He was born king at Bethlehem. That's what the wise men, the Magi, brought to him those gifts. They were saying, you're our king. You're our Savior. You're our sacrifice. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords forever. His divine purpose, his absolute sovereign rule will never change. I'm going to close right there, even though we got some more to go, for the sake of time, because our Spanish ministry will be here, and we don't want to leave them out in the heat so long. But I wanted to talk to you about how Jesus is always the same in his teachings. He never contradicts himself. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and all the other scriptures, he never contradicts himself. He has the same power he always has. And he's always the same to you and me. We love him because he first loved us. He gave us that love. He called us by his grace. You know, we were talking earlier about those miracles, that a man would be dead for 3 days and three nights and rise again from the dead. You know why you believe that? Because the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, told you when you heard it. He said, listen, that's true. Jesus was real. Jesus did rise again from the dead. Jesus was born of a virgin. Jesus is the true and only Savior. Listen, you better call on him. You better get saved. You better take care of your soul and your eternity. Am I dependent on my persuasiveness? Look at me. I mean, I am more handsome than most white men. But if you think I truly believe that, you're messed up. I'm so intellectual and wise and knowledgeable. And my talent, oh, unsurpassed. No, I can't speak to people and convince them. But I know somebody who can. And he saved me in 1980, called me before that year was over to preach. The power and the grace are all of him. So if you got a blessing today at all, then you need to understand it wasn't me. It was a blessing of the Holy Spirit using his word, even though I paraphrase some of it. God uses. I mean, look at the story of the Old Testament about Balaam and the donkey. I'm just living proof that God will use anybody if they'll open their mouth for him, if they'll tell others what he has to say, if they just even tell their story like the woman at the well. Just tell others what Jesus has done for you. Tell them that you believe he died for you, that he rose again from the dead. Jesus talks to you and walks with you. Does he not? God's not dead. He's alive. I just talked to him this morning on the way to church since I've been here. I'm not telling you he speaks audibly to me, but I will tell you he does speak to the heart. And he gives you a peace, a calm peace, like no one else can do, nothing else can do. Even if your bills are all paid and you got food in the cupboard and food in the refrigerator, gas in your car, everything's going good at work, there's no peace like his. And he gives a peace in the midst of the storm. He gives you peace when no one else is. Amen. He gives you peace when even your best friends have seemed to turn their back on you. It's a peace that calms the heart in the midst of strife, in the midst of the battle, in the midst of the storm, in the midst of not being able to trust anyone in this world. You can trust Him. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. And thank You, Lord, for the faces that I see this morning, understanding, willing to be patient with me. Lord, they were even patient when I was chasing the thoughts that came across my mind. But I hope they understand that I get overcome with Your love, that the truth that You exist, that You're real, is so wonderful. And it is real. Lord, You're in this room right now. There's angels we can't see through these eyes of clay. You said where two or three are gathered together in Your name, there You are in our midst. And so, Lord, while You're here, You made our eyes, You can see us always. You made our ears, You hear us always. You made our hearts, You know our desires always. Everything about us is more fully known by You than we will ever understand. So, Lord, if there's anyone here this morning who doesn't know Your Son, Jesus, for the full washing and full pardoning of all their sins once for all forever, we pray that they might call on You. We pray that by Your power they would believe, because we know the truth. And the truth is real. You do exist. The Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Lord Jesus, we know that You're real. Holy Spirit, we know that You're real. And You will pray that we would be captivated by the wondrous miracle that You're alive, that You see all things, that even the universe itself cannot contain You. How mighty You are. How beautiful You are. How righteous You are. Father, we see Your tender mercies when we look at a puppy or a kitten. And then we see the potential of Your great wrath and justice against sin. When we see the lightning and hear the thunder and watch the mighty tsunamis and the devastating earthquakes, Lord, we know that a day is coming in which no man can survive without Your grace. So we pray You bless us now as we serve You. Amen. Amen. We're going to take our offering right now. In case you're surprised, it did say Baptist out front. I don't count the money and I don't put any of it in my pocket. So. Yes, sir. We'll have the usual. Somebody left some tape up here. Father, bless our offering. Use it for Your glory in Jesus' name.